Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
Will I believe and trust that my Christ, who is offering me this eternal life, will come and will fulfill all the things that He says He'll fulfill in my life? Or will I continue to trust my money and my possessions to fulfill what only Christ can fulfill? And that's the bottom line today. When Christ is first, you'll believe Him first. You'll trust in Him and Him alone.
Living on every word.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, would like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Chapter 19, verse 16. I made a statement a couple of weeks ago that has propelled us into this series called When Jesus Christ is First. When Christ Jesus is first in your life. And the statement that I made went something like this. The reason why we find ourselves in the mess we are in is because Jesus Christ is not first in our lives. We have failed to allow Him to be the centerpiece of our lives. And when Christ is not first, when He's not first, something else is. And that something else becomes an idol. We have an idol. And if you have an idol, you're an idolater. Bottom line. Over and over, Scripture speaks of fleeing idolatry. That word is not just for a people who have statues in their home and bow down to those statues. This word is for our generation. It's for the church that we flee idolatry. When I look at this story in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, I see a young man who has idols before God. Notice what it says. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the word or keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I've kept, what am I still lacking?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, you go and you sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and you come and you follow me." And when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved? Who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." I mean, think about it. He's violated the first command. "You shall have no other gods before me." The second command, "You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not worship them. You shall not serve them, for I am a jealous God." The tenth command, "You shall not covet what someone else has. You shall not covet what's in this world. You shall not desire these things." Well, I see a young man that struggles with at least three. But here he is face to face with the living God. He comes to him and asks the question, "What shall I do to obtain this life? What shall I do to walk in this life that you're talking about? To have eternal life, abundant life?" And the Lord Jesus, what does he do? He says, "Look, here's the word and here's the commandments. Do you line up to those commandments?" And he had the audacity to say, "Yes, I do." And you know, Jesus said, "No, you don't. No, you don't." Want to know where your heart is? You know what your idol is? Hear God say, "Give it up." What will you do when God says, "Give it up"? See, this young man, like all of us, had a crisis of faith. It was a crisis of faith. Will I believe and trust that my God or my Christ, who is offering me this eternal life, will come and will fulfill all the things that He says He'll fulfill in my life? Or will I continue to trust my money and my possessions to fulfill what only Christ can fulfill? And if you remember from our last couple of times together on this series, idolatry is trusting something more than you trust God. It's believing in something or someone other than God to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And this rich young ruler could come and believe and trust that Christ would actually be the one. So much he would trust that he'd be willing to give up all those idols. Matter of fact, he'd be willing to say, God, not only am I going to make you first, but guess what? I'm going to do like you have asked me to do, and I'm going to sell everything and follow, give to the poor and follow you. That's how serious I am. It's the thought that says, whatever it takes. And I'm going to ask you, are you willing to do whatever it takes to find this life? Or will you and I hold on to the things that are dear to us? And then as we hold on to them, will we serve them and worship them? But I'm talking about good things. Good gifts that God gives for us to enjoy. Are we willing to say whatever it takes? Idolatry is a very serious thing, folks. Idolatry will cause you to miss God. You will miss His will. You will miss His purposes, His plans, the very things that bring fulfillment in this life. And like the rich young ruler, you can be in danger of even missing eternal life. He left that day. He walked away that day unsaved. Because his property was more important than God. And this is this young man's problem. And it's often our problem, because I would think that if God is saying, look, this is the first command, you shall have no other gods before you, then I would think in my flesh, I have a propensity to have other gods before me. Is that right? And if He says, you shall not make for yourself an idol, I would think that I have a propensity in my flesh and in my heart, apart from God, to raise up something else in this life that becomes more important than God, which is an idol. And we all have that propensity. And yet God says, listen, I'm the one who wants to be worshipped, because if I'm worshipped, worship first, then all these other things that you're seeking to fulfill, what only I can fulfill, I will fulfill. Because He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He missed eternal life. And I you know what? I pray that one day we'll see this rich young ruler, because maybe he had a change of heart. Don't know that. Maybe the seed that was planted by the living God came to fruit one day. God and God alone. Will that be our stance today? Because you see, idolatry, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for this man because, listen, this man in Scripture missed God, missed His will, missed His purposes, missed God's plans and the very things that would bring fulfillment in his life, that would come and fill the emptiness that his possessions and his property never will. Now, is that to say that you can't have money and you can't have stuff? You know me. No, I'm not saying that. You've heard me say this before. The problem is when it has you. And God may ask you to sell everything and to give it away and then to go follow Him. He may ask you to do that. I believe with all my heart that this young man had to do that. Doesn't mean that if we're rich that we do what God told him to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, instruct the rich to do what? Timothy? Yeah, to be generous. And to be rich in good works. But if it's an idol in your life, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to give it up and sell it and follow Him? You know, it's interesting when you look at the whole context of Scripture in New Testament about idolatry. One of them is in 1 Thessalonians. I think we've got it on the screen here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. He says this to the Thessalonians. He says, the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything to you. For they themselves are reporting about us what kind of reception we had with you. And watch this, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. The whole thought of serving God, the whole thought of being His child, the whole thought of being believers, followers of God, is that we have turned from following something else to follow Him. We have turned from our idols and we've turned to God to serve Him and Him alone. If you have an idol in your life, you're serving it. You're feeding it. You're running after it. And you're trusting and believing. And that's the bottom line today. When Christ is first, you'll believe Him first. You'll trust in Him and Him alone. Having Christ first in our lives is the point of salvation. Amen. Deliverance. Hope. What He says to the Thessalonians, He said, listen, you have turned to God from idols and now you are serving a living and true God. And the question that I would ask today, in light of where we've been these last few weeks, are we going to trust and believe that the other things in this world, whether it's our flesh, our friendships, our successes, our stuff, our addictions, such as immorality and drug and alcohol abuse and jobs and money, will be our salvation? You know what you say? Of course not. Then why are we running after them? What are we running after them? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And fleeing idolatry is running to a Christ-first life. It's running to this thought that says, listen, all these things will never, ever fill up my emptiness. So I'm going to flee these things and I'm going to embrace what God has promised. What has God promised? What has God promised to do? The world promises much to us, but it always comes up empty. Always. Because really, this is what it's about. It's what God promises or what the world promises. See, for the rich young ruler, perhaps he inherited, perhaps he made it by grit and sweat. But there's this thought in my life as I look at Scripture that he was thinking and believing, and listen, my possessions and my wealth is what's going to make me what I need to be. And God said, well, He said, no, I am. I am. Would you sell that all? And will you come follow me? Will you sell out? Will you sell out and follow me? Because what are the promises of God? He came and promises to save us, deliver us, justify us, and glorify us. Does your money promise to do that? Does your job promise to do that? Do your relationships in the world promise to do that? No, they don't. I mean, they may promise that, but will they fulfill that? No, they can't fulfill that. They can't save you. They can't deliver you. They can't justify you. They can't glorify you. Prepare a place for you. Yeah, they want to prepare a place for you. But it's not the same one, is it? God promised to send His Holy Spirit to you, to teach you all things, to show you the way which you're supposed to go, to gird you with strength, to give you good gifts, to forgive you, remember your sins no more, to wash you with the Word, to sanctify you in the truth, to give you peace. Pursuing other things than God, does that give you peace? They promise it. But do you have peace? No. Conform you to the image of Jesus. Equip you, empower you, welcome you, and love you, adopt you, never leave you, forsake you. Does the world do that? No, the world will drop you like a hot potato. The world will drop you. I can't tell you how many friends who come out of the world, quit their stuff, quit the junk, and within 2 weeks, they don't have any more friends. 2 weeks. They're gone. People that they grew up with. Gone. They're going to leave you, forsake you? Yeah, they're going to leave you, forsake you. He said that He would come and complete you, make you happy, bless you, take away your sins, crush you with the head of the enemy, remove your guilt, raise you up on the last day, purify you, not give you anything that you cannot handle. He promises to set you free, give you victory over sin, provide for every need, protect you from the evil one, be with you forever, give you confidence in the day of judgment. He promises to comfort and heal you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, promises to save your household. Call you His child, establish you, anoint you, confirm you, perform His work until the day of Christ Jesus. Promises to keep you from falling, to be your God, to feed His flock, you, His flock, to renew your strength, honor your obedience. He promised to let you find Him, answer your prayer, give you sufficient grace, give you everything you need to live a godly life. He promises to rebuke the devourer, fill you with His Spirit, and come into your life and to live forever. Amen?
Yeah.
Question is, are you going to trust this other stuff to do what only God can do? That's what this series is about. Only what He can do. You know, my God promises that He's going to provide for you. And you know, I think that the whole thought of that is listen, will I trust God for that in Him alone? Because again, it's the bottom line. When Christ is first, you trust Him first. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, if you would. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. This is about God's integrity. It's about God's Word. This is what this is about. It's about God saying, listen, I will do this in your life. That's the basis of covenant. I will do this for you. I will do this in your life. And if you will follow me, or if you will believe me and you will follow me, you will find these promises fulfilled in your life. The things that you've been looking for all your life as you pursued the world and as you pursued money and as you pursued these things. Listen, I've come to give it. I've come to give this to you. I've come to give you the inner peace that you're looking for. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says, today, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice. What's that mean? Today if you hear His Word. If God gives you a word today about how you're to live and how you're to walk, He says, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. As they did when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart. And they did not know my ways, and I said, I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but you encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become His partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. And while it is said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, and with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so that we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, watch this, we have had good news preached to us. We have had the Word preached to us, just as they also, but the Word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Heard the Word. The rich young ruler hear the Word. Rich young ruler heard the Word. Matter of fact, he saw the Word. He saw God in flesh. Heard it. But what was the problem? Did not believe. Did not believe that God would satisfy. But continued to believe that his money and his possessions and his work would satisfy. And so what did he do? He held on even tighter. And the question is, I would ask you, what are you holding tight to today? What are you holding tight to today? Feelings? Offenses that people have brought your way? Your job, your health? What is it that you're holding tight to? As I said before, a lot of those things are okay to hold on to, but hold on to them like this. Don't hold on to them like this. Hold on to like this. So that when God comes along and says, hey, this is what I want. There it is, open hand. Because I tell you, that's where peace comes from. That's where life comes from. It's by giving, not keeping. By giving, not taking. That's where life comes from. And why would I hold on to something that I can't take with me and that I can't keep ultimately? That I'll lose it eventually. How many of you had money and you lost it? How many have had a job and you lost it? How many of us have had these things in our lives that we thought were so important and we lost it? One thing I want to hold on tight like this is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I find out one day? I wake up and I realize it wasn't me that was holding, it was Him that was holding. Tight. And I'd think, if he's holding on to me so tight, why in the world would I want to hold on to anything else in this world? Because when I trust him, his promises come true. Now, and it may not be like I think they should, but they come true. Now, you know, there's great promises when you trust him. There's a few of them, and I just look up here on the screen, and we'll finish this up this morning. But when you trust him, you find the peace you were always looking for. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What in this life do you trust to give you rest? Your day off? A day off's never given me rest. Vacation? We need a vacation from our vacation. Right? That'll give you rest. Retirement? Does retirement give you rest? Charlie, does retirement give you rest? No. Busy as you've ever been. But isn't it like us? And God said, listen, you believe me, you'll earn a rest. What about this rest that I'm supposed to have in my heart to know the peace that surpasses all understanding? It comes from trusting him first. Are you trusting him for these things? Second thing he does, he fulfills the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, 3 through 6. Please turn there quickly. Look at the word and notice what he says. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. This trusting, I say, God, I trust in you to do what nothing else can do. What are the desires of my heart? When he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, think about it for a moment. Peace, joy, and light. That's a desire of the heart, isn't it? Don't you want to have peace in your marriage? Don't you want peace in your life? Peace of mind, peace of heart. What about financial security? That's a desire of the heart. You know that, do you know that's a good desire to have? Do you know why? Because if you're financially secure, do you know what happens? You're in a position to provide for your family, to give to those in need, to leave something for your grandchildren, and to owe no man anything. It's God's purpose. Nothing wrong with financial security. Success, Christian success, and we've talked about what Christian success is. Christian success is the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, 23 through 24. Good relationships, good marriage, believing kids, all these things God desires to give us. But again, him first. And he fulfills the desires of your heart. Third, he delivers you. Psalm 40, verse 1, just a few pages forward. I waited patiently for the Lord, verse 1, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he made my footsteps firm, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see and fear, and watch this, and will trust in the Lord. They will see my life, and they themselves will trust in the Lord. He'll pull me out of the pit of destruction, put my feet on the rock, make my footsteps firm, and put a new song in my mouth. I don't know about you, but that's a complete life change. Amen? They'll put their trust in God because of what God has done in your life and in my life. You find deliverance. He'll direct you. On the screen, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways you acknowledge him. See, him first, and he will make your path straight. I like the word paths because there's many paths in our lives, aren't there? There's the path of my life, the path of my marriage, the path of my fatherhood. There's the path of my ministry, church life, job. He will direct each path in my life by trusting in him. Turn to Luke chapter 14. We'll close with this morning. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said to him, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. God, my property is just too much, is too important to me than to respond to your invitation. my property. Another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. God, my truck, my tractor, my plow, my fields, and the money I make from those fields is more important than your invitation. And I've got to go try them out, so please consider me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason, I can't come. Is your wife not letting you come? Spouse hindering you? Can't come. Married a wife. Married a husband. There's no excuse. Your stuff, your things, your relationships is no excuse for God to be second, third, fourth. When Christ is first, you trust Him first, not your property, not your oxen, and not your spouse. You trust Him first. I want to ask you, what are you holding on to, and what are you trusting and believing to fulfill in your life what only God can fulfill? Let's pray together. Convict us, Lord, of the idols of our heart and life, and how dangerous idolatry is, but how safe you are to seek you first, to trust you first. I pray for that kind of lifestyle that would come forth for me, this man, this husband, this daddy, this pastor. And oh Lord, we pray, we confess that we're really entitled to nothing. We're not entitled to peace. We're not entitled to rest. We're not entitled, Lord, to the desires of our heart being fulfilled. We're not entitled to a good marriage and godly kids and a growing church. Entitled to none of that, Lord. Man can receive nothing unless it's been given him from heaven. And Father, we confess that today. But oh God, on the other hand, I see your promises. And I believe them. Would you come to a people who would seek you first and trust you first and fulfill what only you can fulfill? I pray, Lord, that we'd lay it on the altar today and we'd be unlike the rich young ruler. But we'd be like Abraham, who journeyed up that hill and offered his son the promise to you. Lord, I pray that you'd show us what we need to put on the altar today. I pray that you would show us what we need to, in a sense, sell and give away. I pray that you'd show us what we need to truly let go of, so that we might seek you first and trust you first. I thank you for the grace that you give us to do this today. And I pray, Lord, that we would have the boldness and the courage and the faith to step out. And not be unbelieving, but believing. Not be disobedient, but obedient. I pray, Father, for your grace upon us today. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man knows.